seated. Turn now to our scripture lesson, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, I think a passage that is quite familiar to most of us, if not all of us. 14 verses 1 through 7. There we have God's word as follows. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, may he bless it to our hearts and our spiritual nourishment today. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, saying goodbye is always hard, especially for those who love each other. And the bleakness of such a moment is felt when parting or from when leaving a loved one. For instance, when a congregation and minister bid farewell to each other, or fellow members have to say goodbye to one another, or when parents say goodbye to a son or a daughter leaving for school or the military service. Not easy. And the tension, of course, the tension of farewells is most acute at the bedside of a dying loved one. And perhaps a good many of us have experienced that. All of us will experience that. It's hard. It's hard to say goodbye. Because we want to keep our loved ones with us as long as possible. And when we part, there's always the fear that we will not see them again on this earth. Well, our text sets such a scene before us. Jesus is saying goodbye to his beloved. The little band of 11 that represented his church. And since he knew the pains of farewell, saying goodbye, Jesus also knew that only one promise could console her. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again for you. Bridegroom was saying goodbye to his bride. He was about to ascend, to leave her, in order to get everything ready for a joyous occasion, a joyous reunion, to get everything ready for the wedding. Now, according to Jewish custom, the husband-to-be was responsible for providing the place to live with his bride. When everything was in order, then his fellows, his friends, would gather around him and they would parade down the darkened street, his companions, of course, bearing torches, to the place where the bride lived. And with a jovial song, celebration, they would troop to the house where the bride was waiting, take her and her companions along, and together they would make their way to the house that he had prepared. The house was to be their home. There they would feast, and there he would take his bride unto himself. Now, as the bridegroom, Jesus now says to his bride, the church, I go to prepare a place for you. Now that place is described various ways in Scripture. It's described as the Father's house of many mansions or rooms. Scripture also uses many such phrases to describe heaven. In the book of Revelation, it's called the new heavens, the new earth. In harmony, of course, with the Old Testament, it's called the heavenly Canaan, or a country which is heavenly. The Bible also speaks of it as the New Jerusalem, a city four square, perfect, complete. But Jesus here speaks of it as a house, and that is quite in harmony now with his farewell. The bride is not first of all, or the bride of Christ, not first of all interested in the earth as such, or the country, but the house. The house is the place of the most intimate life for that new bride. It is here that the bridegroom will take her unto himself. And the house is very beautiful. It has many rooms, places for each one to dwell. It is located, indeed, in the New Jerusalem, described with golden gates and or golden streets and pearly gates. The city itself will be refreshed with the water that flows from the throne of God, and it will be graced on either side with the tree of life, providing everlasting nourishment. There will be no sounds of wailing in her street, nor gunshots, or screams. And all the tears will be wiped away from the eyes and from the heart. Those hearts will be filled with joy and singing. So a house in that city is indeed most blessed. Most of all, however, because that house will be home. Home. Jesus, our bridegroom, will take us unto himself within that house. And the house is the Father's. He planned it. He designed it. He provided that house. He provided a bride for his son. And he sent his son to get it ready. And he will finally give his son then in marriage so that they can live in it. It belongs to the Father. And the glory of that marriage is his forever. Now, Jesus, of course, was betrothed to his wife. Or as we say today, engaged. Now, the Father had publicly announced that from the splendor of his heavenly throne. Prophet Hosea is quite plain about that. And you can read that public announcement in Hosea 2, 19 and 20. But you see, by the decree of sovereign election, the Father had officially announced that Christ would become married to His bride, the church, as prophesied by Hosea. And also the Father had acquainted Him with all the names of those who would be gathered together, and who together would be the bride. Those names written in the book of life. Those who are heirs to a mansion, a robe and a crown, as we sung earlier. Now, that's the comfort and the joy of those betrothed in Christ and destined to be married to Him. Now, marriage is to be legal and proper. And to become married, one must have a marriage license. Before God, there is no common law marriage. A man may not simply live with a woman as husband and wife, as is becoming very, very much the case in our day, sad to say. But the law must be satisfied, and a license has to be obtained. And that was supremely true for the only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ would purchase that license. Our text sets the scene. Jesus was in the upper room with His disciples. And you recall that His soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Knowing full well what lay ahead. All this and more in order to secure the license, the right to marry His bride according to the law of God. And He had to sign that marriage license in His own blood. That was the only way. And it is this truth that must humble us to the dust, and at the same time be our greatest comfort. Because you see, the bride of Christ is not yet arrayed in fine linen. To the contrary, she is guilty of spiritual whoredom. The wonder of the love of Christ and the love of the Father, to give Christ in marriage to us, is this: the Father and the Son loved a spiritual whore. Now blush if you will. I know that's strong language, but that's true. That's what the Bible says. The prophets of the Old Testament were very blunt, and time after time they cried out, "How long will you go a whoring after other gods, O Israel?" Huh? Yeah. You can find that in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Hosea, among others. We are sinners, spiritual whores. And the righteous God has set the price on the marriage license of His only begotten Son. He must pay. He is to pay for our spiritual unfaithfulness, for our whoredom. He must endure the affliction of bearing the sins of many. But He loved His bride. He loved her even unto death. In Gethsemane, remember? In Gethsemane, He prostrated Himself upon the earth. Remember His cry? "Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Matthew 26:29. And the answer was clear and strong. The right to marry his bride can be secured only through suffering the torments of death and hell. And in humble obedience, Jesus went the way of the cross. He went through the darkness of the wrath of God. And suffering in his soul the anguish and the torments of hell, particularly when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's hell. Signing the marriage license with the blood that flowed on Calvary. And the Father, wonder of wonders, the Father looked down upon his obedient Son and beheld his perfect work. And he saw how he loved his bride even unto death. The Father was pleased and raised him from the dead, thereby sealing the marriage license with the official stamp of divine approval. And when Jesus arose from the dead, he arose in a heavenly body, fit for the dwelling place that he had gone to prepare and where he would take his bride unto himself. But you know, there's more. Having triumphed over sin and death, yes, even the grave, Jesus spent a few more days with his bride on earth, constantly reminding her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven. No, he didn't arise from the dead to dwell or live on earth. His place was not here. His place was in heavenly glory. And after instructing his bride in concerning things that would yet take place, Jesus once again bade farewell to his bride, and at the foot of Mount Olive, he gradually ascended before their eyes. And again, the voice of Jesus was heard, floated over the hills, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am going, you cannot come now, but I will come back. I will come back for you, that where I am, you may be also. And so it must be. All things have to be made ready for the wedding. More is necessary than the engagement. More is required than a license. The bride must be prepared. For she must be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Revelation 19:8. Jesus paid the guilt for the spiritual whoredom of his bride on the cross. All her transgressions are forgiven. And now Jesus looked upon his bride and saw also that her former life would still be a temptation to her. And not only was it necessary for the bride to be liberated from the guilt of her sins, she must also be liberated from the power of those sins in her life. She must cease being the prostitute or whore. And surely Jesus must do something about that. For the bride herself is helpless. We know that, don't we? There are all around us the temptations of the world, the pleasures and the treasures of this world. For the prince of this world, you know, goes about constantly seeking to allure us into that former whoredom. Enemies vie for the bride's affection, telling her that she's foolish, waiting for the bridegroom. Why not live it up? Who knows when that bride is going to come? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So they cry, 2 Peter 3, verse 4. And Jesus knew this would happen. And after he left and the cloud hid him from their sight, he went to the Father's right hand, and immediately he prayed for his bride that he might receive the Holy Spirit from the Father and send that Holy Spirit to the bride to comfort her, to enable her to be faithful while waiting for his return. And on Pentecost morning, Jesus returned in the Spirit to his bride. No, he does not himself dwell personally with his bride. Rather, he sent his helper. I will send you another helper, that he might dwell with his bride and give her strength, give her wisdom to continue in her calling on this earth. And by that Spirit, Christ fulfills his promise to his bride. You know, a bit later in chapter 14 here of John, chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or like orphans. I will come to you. And so he has. That's why when Jesus said earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:20. The Lord Jesus is preparing a place for his bride then, right now. Being exalted in the heavens, he has received all power on heaven and on earth. By that power of his ruling arm, he controls all things on earth, all peoples, all nations, all events in nature, yes, everything, in order that it may serve his bride. He dwells by his grace and Spirit in the midst of his church, blessing the preaching of the gospel, both within the visible church and through her mission labors, using it as means to call out of sin and darkness his bride and bring her within the pure and holy environments of the true church. All the time, giving her the assurance that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against her. And he provides her with that strength. He provides the dress for his bride, to bring her within the pure and the pure and holy environment of the true church. The pure garments of salvation, his perfect righteousness and holiness and obedience. As Isaiah had prophesied, Isaiah 61:10, so that she stands complete in him while she waits and longs and looks for his return. And the bride will come, as he promised. He will come for his bride at the end of the age. You know, he also comes to each one of us when our purpose on earth is finished. That's the reality of death for the bride of Christ. Yes, we must pass through the grave, but that's not separation from our bridegroom. Only a transformation by which our souls are cleansed from all filth and our bodies await the resurrection, when they too shall be like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Transcending the lofty skies, we go to Him and we dwell with Him in all perfection. Yes, He comes also in death to claim His bride one by one. But, however, the most significant moment is still in the future. That will be that great wedding itself. The saints on earth are waiting, as well as the saints in heaven. And as soon as the bridegroom has the Father's house of many mansions ready, He will come personally upon the clouds of heaven to take His whole bride to Himself, to dwell in heavenly perfection forever in a new heavens and a new earth. And both according to body and soul, then, we will be ready, made ready for that wedding. Having been judged righteous, we will be clothed with the wedding garments, with the wedding dress our bridegroom has purchased for us. And we will feel perfectly at home with Him. And we will sing the praises of the Father forever in that new heavens and the new earth. Yes, our bridegroom is now away from us. But beloved, He has sent us. He has sent us His letter of love. Every time we open the Bible, every Lord's Day we gather here to worship, we listen to our bridegroom speak to us, either through letter or messenger. And that must thrill us. For then He's near us. What a day. What a day that will be when we are married to Him. He will take us unto Himself. And we will personally dwell with Him. We will have fellowship with Him face to face in the Father's mansion. The only question is, do I know where Jesus went? Do you know the way to that house of many mansions, many rooms? Jesus has told us that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and those who would come to the Father must come through Him. So God grant us that Spirit of Christ, that the Spirit of Christ may dwell in us to comfort us, to keep us ever faithful, ever looking for the return of the bridegroom. What a day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. What a day. Glorious day that will be. And may your constant prayer, my constant prayer be, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, what a letter of love and promise and grace You have given to us, that You have gone to prepare a place for Your bride, for the church, and that You are coming again. What a day, O God, that will be when Jesus comes for His bride and when He ushers in that new heavens and the new earth. The Lord, help us. Help us by Your grace and Your Spirit to continue boldly, to continue, O God, in that blessed hope that we will see You one day, face to face. Glorious day. What a day that will be. Lord, hear us for Your Son's sake. in whose name we pray. Amen. This time you have the opportunity to worship the Lord with your gifts and offerings. Dear Father in heaven, bless now the offerings that we present. Use them. Use them, O God, to spread that glorious news, that blessed hope of the new day, the new heavens that's coming, and that glorious marriage feast of the Lamb. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.